Let's pray. Glorify me. On say that a conversation arise, will I show the glory of God. Help us to always, order our conversation arise, speaking nothing but the word of the Lord. They either have to say the law or they keep quiet. That is what the revelation said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning for gathering us together, having the joy of the Lord. I can see the glory of the Lord upon every face. Our angels are up, ascending right now. Bible says so. Are they not, ministering spirits? Send for us to minister for us who are the heirs of salvation. We are called to the innumerable company of angels. Whether we see them or not, it makes no difference. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I have given my angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. David said by the Holy Ghost that you dash not your feet against a stone. And even the angel of the Lord himself has come around us and delivered us. We are eternally secure. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, as we read your word this morning, bless the reading thereof, Lord. Let it be mixed together with faith, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Many a time, you want to talk on a subject and you can't finish it. And when it comes to faith in particular, there is no end to preaching faith. Many things. There was a minister that the Lord told him many years into his ministry, all he was going to do, go and teach my people faith. And he spent the rest of his life preaching faith, just faith alone. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, so this morning, before we did what I called Faith Nuggets, number 2, part 2. Faith Nuggets, part 2. We had a part 1 a couple of weeks ago. And so this morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Faith Nuggets, part 2. Where? See? The Lord foresaw those days of lack of faith and spiritual declension, that will precede his second coming. He foresaw it. Where? He called the end for the beginning, right? Nothing is new for him. He called the end for the beginning. He knew near is coming. There will be decline in faith. As long as that there will be a declension and so forth. Of spiritual things near is coming. Then he gave forth a saying in Luke chapter 18. One widow, and then what he called an unjust judge. And this widow, we petition, importuned. This unjust judge, the Lord called him, to avenge her of her adversary, and she will not go. Then the unjust judge said, "Well, if I don't answer this woman, you just wear me out and so on." Then the Lord gave a verse in Luke 18. Then the Lord said it, verse 18, verse 8 of Luke 18. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth, on the earth? Is it? So, shall he find faith? The inferential answer of course is no. It is no. But blessed be God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there will be some faith in some of the elect and so on. So our blessed Lord, in this scripture, like I said, was telling of the widow who importuned an unjust judge over and over again until he avenged of our adversary. So the truth that the law presented here was that if an earthly judge would do that merely because a woman kept coming again and again with her petition to him, would not our Heavenly Father avenge the little flock? He called them the little flock, right? That's where we find the faith. We find the faith in the little flock, right? There are millions and millions of other people and so on, but they call them little flock. They are not so little flock, right? Once you have the little flock, who will be true to him in those days of lack of faith and spiritual declension? Absolutely. The Lord will bring that out. Yes, he will. So thank God. There will be some faith left. Where we know there was a called out company immediately following his first coming, you know, as the Messiah to come and redeem us. So there was a called out people, group of people and so on that, you know, that you know, that were there that have faith in his coming. I want to talk about one or two or three of them. So at his first coming, there were a called out people. For example, there were the shepherds when he was born. There were the shepherds. You can want to bring out at his first coming, immediately thereafter, there are some people called out one who have faith, right? Now, so there were the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angelic host, they know the coming of the, for all people, right? He came to redeem the world, amen? To come and die for, the Bible says, he tasted death for the whole world, right? How the Bible says that. Right? So the angel begins to tell us that. So, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which came to pass, which the Lord, calling the Lord, has made known to us. They were shepherds, they were predestinated to believe, to have faith that the Messiah has come. They were predestinated and so on, and they have faith. Yeah, immediately after his first coming, there are those who have faith. So I want to bring in more. So I'm believing God. So, and in Matthew, the second chapter of Matthew, what is it again? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there were shepherds, there were came wise men, called them in the Hebrew Magi. They were Magi, you know, from the east to Jerusalem. They were Gentiles too, you know. That's even prophesied. They were Gentiles, you know, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east. What star? Wow. They saw the star out of Jacob. Numbers 24:17. They saw the bright and the morning star. Not just a conjunction. No. Not at all. The star of out of Jacob. You know that mount, you know, the star of Jacob and so on. You know, and also the bright and the morning star. What they saw. So anyway, so and and he said, and we are come to worship him. See? Now verse 9 says, lo. So while they were there, when they were in Jerusalem and so forth, the star disappeared. And because of the unbelief of the people and so forth, the star disappeared. After that, they were told, they didn't know where he was born. And then they asked the temple priest, where should he be born and so on. They said, Bethlehem of Judea. So they headed out to Bethlehem. As soon as they were headed out of Jerusalem, out of the unbelief of the people, that star appeared again. That happened to them 2 years earlier. You know, and they have traveled 2 years, predestinated. They were Gentiles, you know. Telling that the Gentiles will come to the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, 2 years they traveled. They left their business for 2 years, looking for, you know, the star. They followed that star and something like that. And they come. But after they were on their way to Bethlehem, the star appeared again. So that is about 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fed her and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, so I mean, I mean, if it's coming, there are selected people that have faith. There have been no prophets for 400 years in Malachi. There have been no prophets at all. And there are selected people who are waiting for the coming of that Messiah. They come Malachi prophesy. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly appear in his temple. You know, and so they were looking at that prophecy and some of that, you know. Anyway, and in Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man. Can you see? There is always, there was, right? In Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, rather. And the same man was judged and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, not by himself, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Malachi says so. Suddenly, he appeared in the temple, right? You know, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he gave beautiful prophecy and so forth. That, you know, I can't go into this only and so on. But it was, there was faith in him. He had been revealed to him. He had been waiting. And so that, you know. So, now, so we see that idea. So, not even only in the zone. You know, just before now, even after he's coming, there was faith in some people. In the same chapter of Luke 2:36. And there was, look at the words, there was, right? Will there be faith when the Son of Man cometh again? So now, even after he's first coming, there was. People have faith, right? So in Luke 2:36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. She knew something. She wouldn't leave the temple for anything, you know. That's all she ever does, and some of that, you know. She knew the Messiah was coming, right? I believe so, she had heard the Malachi and some of that, you know. And the verse 38 said, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for the redemption in Jerusalem. Witness of him, this is the Messiah, you know. He did. So what am I talking about? In the same manner, thank God for the great fact that there will be a spiritual ecclesia. Ecclesia means called out one at the second coming of Christ. You will have faith that he is coming, and there will be just like there were immediately after his first coming. So called out one preceding the second coming of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus, and so on. After all, we know that for many reasons there will be people who will have faith. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, hey, like Papa Simeon, right? Like Mama Anna, right? Tribes. They were example for us. You know, I don't know that, you know. So anyway, that look for him, shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. So the idea of people have faith, right? Like when he first came, right? Yeah. Masses will not have faith, no. But it is the ecclesia, they called out one. Called out from the churches, I don't know that, you know. Don't forget, in Jerusalem, there were rabbis who even showed the wise men where the Messiah was born. They didn't even step out of Jerusalem to go and see what happened in Bethlehem. Did they? They were not predestined to do that, right? Unbelief, right? But 2 years traveling, they went there. No, they were called out and so on. So at the coming of the second coming, yes, the masses won't have faith. The body of the church as large. Even today, how many people are preaching the second coming of Christ? They are too busy, you know, about the coming of the Lord. So talk about the coming of the Lord and so on. What are they going to have? Take away the coming of the Lord. What is left in the church? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely no ceremony and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so we see. Let me give you more scripture that the faith when it comes in the elect. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This scripture has been coming almost in every service, right? Why? Because we are at urgency time right now concerning the coming of the Lord. That's why I don't know. I didn't plan it. He's always coming in almost every time. Pitch any time if he come out. Ah, you know, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Just as he said, I'm telling that, you know, so that people caught up alive. Yes. Can I find faith when I come here? In the leg, in the court, that's why. In the ecclesia, you find faith. Not in the basis of the body of Christ, but there be a caught out one. Just like immediately after his first coming. So we see, we can leave that right there. So what do we now say there? Now, thank God, these and other scriptures indicate that there will be some faith left in some caught out ones at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of God exhorts you and I in Jude verse 3. He says, so therefore can I say to you this morning that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what I say this morning. Contend for that faith. The coming of the Lord dressed now. I'm telling that, you know. So contend for that faith and whatever the Lord has commanded, you know. So like our brother was talking about, the way God put something in the Bible, it doesn't do anything just for nothing. When he said, do this in remembrance of me, he meant what he said. You know, so how many churches are doing it? Those who do, they do it even wrongly, contrary to the scripture, right? You know, because Rome has polluted everything. Catholicism, papacy, has polluted everything. Babylon, I don't know that, you know. But the elect, they are outside of Babylon, you know. So they are the called out one out of the church. Okay, let's go now. So now, go back to our subject, faith, right? Not just of faith. So if we find faith in the leg as it's coming again, so contend for that faith, like what one delivered unto the saints, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Look at what you are doing, how you are worshiping God in your fellowship. Is it upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? You know, you should ask when you go to fellowship, is it according to the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? If it is not, it is wrong. I don't care how many crowds they have. See? You know? So anyway, let's go. So now, back to the subject. Faith. What is the meaning of faith? The scripture defines faith in two ways. In Hebrews 11:1, it declares that it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, nuggets of faith, right? Faith must have a foundation upon which to rest. In the very nature of things, there must be some cause for its operation. There must be a cause for the operation of faith. Are there some premise upon which it can manifest itself? A great many people confuse what I will call presumption with faith. Presumption is not faith. Presumption is belief without evidence. Without faith, it's belief with action. So don't confuse presumption with faith. Presumption, it's a belief without any evidence, but faith has evidence and action with it. And some of that, you know. For example, let me see an example now. Peter walked on water because the Lord invited him to. In Matthew chapter 14, I believe it is, saw the Lord walking on water. Lord, if it is still, bid me come. Lord, if it is still, the Lord said, come, right? That's a call. So, and Peter walked on water, right? That is in Matthew 14, I believe it is, and so on. So we see that invitation was the foundation upon which Peter did his faith walk on water, because the Lord said, come. He had a word of God. He said, come. So he walked on water, right? So unless the Lord specifically tells somebody else to do the same, it will be presumptuous for that person to attempt to walk on water just because Peter did. You see? So presumption and faith, right? There are two different things, as you know. He didn't tell you, just drown, you know, praise the Lord. So anyway, so he was able to walk because he had a foundation, the Lord did come, see. So anyway, true faith must be based on a scriptural foundation, or I will say, upon the promise of God. And bless God, there is nothing surer or more reliable on this earth or anywhere else than the numerous promises contained in the word of the living God. Amen. God make a promise to you and that, it will fail. Man's word will fail, but God's word will never fail. Amen? Never will fail. So, based upon the word of God, find a promise to the word of God and base your faith there. The Lord put it this way, another way, to give you confidence in Luke 21:33, when he told us all the things that are already happening right now and before our eyes and so on. He says this in verse 23 of Luke 21. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Whatever he told you won't pass away, you know. So put that in your heart and so on. Oh, how firm a foundation is laid for our faith in his excellent word. See? That is the anchor for true faith, the word of God. And don't forget this, God means what he has said. He didn't just put them for idleness and so on. Indeed, Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? How will he make his word good? He's always watching over his word to perform it in other scriptures and so on. So we see, back of every one of the promises of God in this Bible is that eternal omnipotence that created every material thing that exists in the whole universe. So the power of God is behind every of those promises that is in this Bible and so on. No book like this book, called the Bible, the word of the living God and so on, or other book, they fade into nothing. See? John 1:3, what I'm talking about, he created all things. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16, for by him, the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Now, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And the verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, people used to wonder when they say visible and invisible. There are two ways to look at it. I always say this one and so forth. When science came through, they come with a microscope, right? They see things you can never see with your eyes, right? See, visible and invisible, right? So that's one thing. Microscope came. You can see Amway by now under the microscope, right? Couldn't see with your naked eyes. See? Now, even there are microscopic things which are far away from our heart in the heavens and so on. They find new planets every day, right? They are invisible to the naked eyes, right? Visible and invisible, they were all created by him. Bible says they are visible things and are invisible things, right? Before there was any science, right? God is good and his word is true. Praise the Lord. You can get a hold of any of that promise. They are sure. Nothing can be more sure than the word of God. You can put your faith on it. So our God is the one who made the things that are out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith. Understand? I'm exhausting God's word by the Holy Spirit here that you can safely anchor your faith in it. No, this point, I'm talking about this word right now. Through faith, you understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. So he is he who brought the cosmos. By the cosmos, I mean the universe that is seen as a well-ordered whole today. You know, that's the cosmos, right? The universe, that means as a well-ordered whole, so ordered. You know, the cosmos, the universe, so ordered. Look at our own solar system. Master design behind it and so on. Everything perfected. Every once in 24 hours, the sun moves, I mean, the earth moves around its own orbit and so on. 365 days, it moves around the sun. Everything in perfect position and so on, you know. Anyway, our God created all those things and so on, you know. So we see that there. Our God, who does all these things, and even many, many innumerable things, is the author of his promises. And the omnipotent behind every one of those promises, that omnipotent behind every promise of God. You can safely rest in them and so on. Romans 4:21. And what he has promised, it is able to perform. So the scripture teaches us that, man who comes to God with his supplications, talking about nuggets of faith, right, must first believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6. Must believe that he is. That means what? That means that person must believe that is God, the one who is eternal, the one who is omnipotent, the one who is omnipresent, and the one who is omniscient. No other days qualify that way and so on. You have to believe in that way to get, you will get faith and so on. The scriptures declared in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2, that you may be delivered from unreasonable men, and unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have no faith. Why don't they have faith? They don't have faith because they have denied God. See? Only the elect of God, only the called out one, do they have faith. God has dealt a measure of faith to each of his people who believe in him, right? The rest of them, they don't have faith. I don't know that, you know. What is real faith and so on, that, you know. Anyway, they have no faith because they deny God. Because they do not believe in the Lord, they cannot possibly have the superstructure of faith in their lives. For God alone is the author of true faith. Yes, God alone is the author of true faith. And we are told in Hebrews 12:2, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the source of true faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see right here. So all men outside of Christ have no faith. I don't care what they claim. God says they have no faith anyway. So thank God we have faith. He has dealt to us each of us a measure of faith. And you can move any mountain by the faith of God. No one can rest upon nothing. Only God himself will have the power of accomplishing that. No one can rest upon nothing. Only God himself will have the power of accomplishing that. He only is the all-sufficient one. He has need of nothing. He's the all-sufficient one. Praise the Lord. And rest in his promises forever and ever. It will not fail. The scriptures, or the scripture commands us to have faith in God in Mark 11:22. Or one rendering says, have faith of God. See? So God is the author of true faith. I have faith of God. See? Meaning to have faith in Christ and his word. This means that God himself should be the foundation and the basis of all of our faith. There can be no faith in God without God himself. It's impossible. Without God himself, faith will be a presumption. See? Not just of faith. Faith always proves itself. It is like a leap into the dark, but it will land you in the light. See? You don't see where you are going, right? That's faith, right? No? So, it's like a leap into the dark. But if you follow through, it will lead you into the light. Faith is a journey into the unseen, but it leads to the heavenly vision. Faith may be sometimes mysterious in its operation or processes, but it always proves itself in its ultimate. Ultimately, it will prove itself. Yes, faith will always do. Faith cannot operate without accomplishment. When you have it, it will accomplish something for you that wanted to do for you in the providence of God. So anyway, to continue to exercise faith without some degree of a manifestation of his operation means there are something but the wrong somewhere, right? You have to find it out, you know. So faith cannot operate without to accomplish his purpose when you have it and so on. Hebrews 11:30 says this: by faith, the walls of Jericho. Let's take some examples in the Bible now. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's talk about that a little bit. Nuggets of faith. Here, what do we have here? In the Old Testament, the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan, the Jordan River, and the people were encamped before Jericho. There could be no going back at all. They are crossing the river Jordan and so on, that you know. You know, and now they are encamped around Jericho area. Then Joshua, the new general, no doubt felt a sense of exhilaration when he saw the people safely across the Jordan River. But it was soon tempered by this time revelation that this was only just the first step. Yeah, we cross it by Jordan, but this is just the first step. Anyway, there are things to be done, there are things to be accomplished anyway. So at this time Moses, of course, was with him no more, and the whole burden of leadership lay heavily upon his shoulder. So upon Joshua's shoulder and so on. And Jericho, the first city, that is the first city that they're going to take. That's how the promise is, the first city that the promised land. Yeah, they cross Jordan, but they get the very first city of Jericho, they have to capture it, right? Jericho, the first city that barred this way, was yet to be taken. So we read in the Bible, or in part of the Bible, so with these serious thoughts revolving in Joshua's mind, late one night, we can infer from the Bible, late one night, Joshua walked out alone from the camp to survey the city of Jericho, which lay before him in the distance. He could see in the pale moonlight, or moonlit light, you know, the citadel of Jericho, with its walls standing like sentinels, like an army, if you will, you know, as if crying to him, say, they shall not pass this place, you know. So that's what he was thinking, that's what he looked at him. His heart must have been filled with anxiety and with bewilderment. But was the whole body really upon Jesus' shoulder? That's what he thought. Many times in your life, you think you have the whole body, but you're casting all your care upon him, right? Was the whole body really upon Joshua's shoulder? Maybe not, as I'm going to see right now. Why engage in the silent contemplation? He was alone now, went away from the camp, looking at Jericho and the night, maybe moonlit and so on, right? You know, he was going to think about all these things. So anyway, why engage in this silent contemplation? He suddenly became aware of a personage before him. That's in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I want to read that. Joshua 5, 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. If you want to call him a man, the Bible says a man there, but no. Over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. He was so bold, he went unto him, and said unto him, "Art thou for us, or for our adversary?" And he said, "Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Now, in the answer to his question, Joshua found out that this personage was not only an ally, but more than an ally. You know, the captain of the host, to whose order he must submit himself. The position of leadership, therefore, was not in Joshua at that moment as he thought, but in this personage. Then the question arises, who is this personage? Who is he? Well, it could not be an ordinary angel. How do we know? Because ordinary angels, true angels, we never request for worship of man or accept one. They won't. A true angel. Lucifer will do that. Satan will do that. Fallen angels will do that. But not a true angel. You know, they will never accept worship or request one. I'll give you two scriptures. The book of Revelation. The heavenly narrator. To Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. I'll give you two scriptures. How that true angel will not accept worship. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 9. Trying to identify this personage that appeared to Joshua. Now, then says he unto me, "See thou do it not." I want to worship this heavenly being. "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God." True angel will point you to worship God, right? People even worship angels, I'm sorry, no? Point you. Another scripture. 19th of Revelation, the 10th chapter, I mean the 10th verse. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not." The same word, right? "I am thy fellow servant and of that other brethren that have a testimony of Jesus. Worship God, he said, for the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. So I give you two scriptures. I identify this man who accepted worship from Joshua, right? And I don't know that you know. So, but this captain of the host of the law accepted worship, right, from Joshua, and he did not refuse when Joshua actually called him Lord. He didn't reject it. He accepted it. What does that mean to us? Who was he? He was an actual theophany of the Son of God, spoken of in the Old Testament as the angel of the covenant. That's who he was. See? The actual theophany of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of in the Old Testament as the angel of the covenant, God appearing in the flesh. Well, to clarify that to us, this is further confirmed by the command that this pattern is gave Joshua in Joshua chapter 5 verse 15. What did he say to him? Loose the shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereof thou standest is holy. Isn't that the same command that Moses received in Exodus 3 at the burning bush? In Exodus 3, verse 5, I believe it is, no? The same command. And in that verse, we are told that was God who gave that command, right? So the same command given to Moses was given to Joshua. Who could it be? The same God, right? God said it was God who gave that in the burning bush, who gave Joshua that command. Moses that command. The same command was given to Joshua. So he is God, you see? The theophany. Christ and so forth, as you know, theophany and God in the flesh. So anyway, this appearance of captain of the host of the law was a positive proof that God has not forsaken his people. He appeared to them. He sent them out there, cross each other. He's with them. He's in the pillar of fire. People are confused. He is just infinite. He appears in infinite ways that he can appear and so on. He is here right now. So, people that will narrow in that by our limited mind, So, but I have to follow the scriptures, right? Anyway, so faith was the victory. Was the victory that was to storm the walls of Jericho and unfold the flag of Israel. Unfold the flag of Israel from the topmost peaks of that citadel. In the ensuing conversation with Joshua, the Lord outlined the plan for the taking of the city of Jericho. The battle was to be the Lord's, see? To be the Lord's. And the children of Israel were to walk in the light of faith and leave the result of its God. See, God intervened, right? So let me try to learn from here. So what strange military tactics? The angel of the Lord planned with Joshua. What kind of, to take a city, what kind of practice is this and so on? The lack of that plan has never been known in human history, So the outlined method of taking the city, paraphrasing now, was one that every military general in the war, except Joshua, we just laugh to scorn, right? They will laugh it to scorn. To take a whole city, so fortified, all you have to do is just, so there was to be no fighting. See? Just walking in obedience. Tell me any military genius today can take any city like that and so that, Anyway, there's no fighting, just walking in obedience. Not just of faith, right? Now, there could have been no walking in obedience if there had been no God in whom Joshua could have placed his faith in, right? So now, what a test it must have been for Joshua in this particular case. Well, ringing in his heart, I believe, I can even say it, was this word. Faith is the victory. I can begin to read in his mind. Faith is the victory. He must have heard the song of the heavenly choir saying, faith is the victory. So we see. And don't forget, the city of Jericho, though a very small, not so large city, was strongly fortified and closely shut up against attack. That's how it was built. the walls were actually up around old Jericho. But look what faith does now. But they were down in the spiritual vision of Joshua. Yes, the walls were there, but the eyes of faith saw them down. By faith, he saw them, they were down. Physically, they won't be there, but the eyes of faith saw that were coming down. Why? For the Lord, yeah, that's why he had called his faith. How did he say? For the Lord, I said unto him, in Joshua 6:2, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of battle. So the Lord was still standing, but the word of God, he had faith. They were down as far as he is concerned in the spiritual vision. Faith was even then the substance of things hoped for right there, you know. See? Then, after all discussion with the angel of the Lord, with the Lord, Joshua went back to the camp, right? And he declared to them, as I will emphasize, we have won the victory. Won the victory? They were asking, yeah, we are coming to see it. Are the walls down? The walls are there, you know. Have the people of the city fled? No, but we have the victory anyway. Why? Because the Lord says so, right? He doesn't care what your eye is telling you. Your five senses are given to you to interact with the material world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Take your spirit to interact with the spiritual world to contact the living God. These senses are not given to discern God. You discern God in your spirit, right? My eyes are going to see what is happening here. The other side, spiritual eye. Now, angels are here, we don't see them with our physical eyes, right? See? So there's a different word entirely, but even more real than the physical world and so on, that, you know. So anyway, you might have been asked, if the walls were down and the inhabitants of the city fled, you might have answered, no, they are still there, but nevertheless, the Lord has delivered the city into our hands. So what do we learn from here? Spiritual victories are generally won by the operation of the principles of faith that are absolutely and thoroughly inadequate in the mind of the so-called scientists. Yeah, they can't figure it out. So anyway, reason, matter of reason. Like he was a man, like Joshua, despite all those visitations, reason matter of started in him again, saying things like this. Listen to me, Joshua. How absolutely ridiculous and unutterably foolish for you to believe that those walls will fall down because you carry a box, meaning the Ark of the Covenant, right? You know, and with you, and marching around the city, you know, the man will be telling him, is it not absurd to believe that blowing the trumpets and shouting at the top of your lungs will do anything more than use up your wind, and can have no effect whatsoever on this impregnable barrier of concrete around Jericho? No, the human man will be, he was a man too, and some of that, you know. I can see Joshua replying this, faith leaping in his heart and so on, you know. And he might have replied, prat not to me of the reasons of any finite conception. No, the God of all eternity and infinity has spoken. that's actually the matter, right? God has spoken, I will give you the city of Jericho, right? So all your reasoning, all my reasoning and so on, don't prat me with any reasoning and so on, that you know. The God of all infinity and eternity has spoken. With him, I shall march according as he gave me command. I will march around the city. I can march, and he, the Lord, will put down the walls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do the marching, do the pulling. Praise God. That's what he does for his people. See? And so reason, give way before the affirmation of faith. It will do it for you and me. Reason, we give way before the affirmation of faith. And before you know it, 7 days went back swiftly. Joshua did that time and so on. Hardly had a shout on the seventh day now, hardly had a shout, let the truth of the victorious strong before the angels in heaven be heard, another cloud. What cloud was that? It was a cloud of dust arising from the collapse of the walls of Jericho. See? Now, when human beings, they may see clouds of dust and so forth, I can guarantee you, wrapped inside that cloud is the invisible hand of the Almighty God, amen, that put down the world. Praise the Lord. That's right. See? Men can see the dust and so forth, but within that clothes around, wrapped in that cloud is the invisible hand of the angel of the law, the angel of the covenant and so on. Put that in one and so on, you know, so I can guarantee you that and so on. That's how you fight your battles for you too, you know. So anyway, so we see nuggets of faith right here, and many of them in the Bible and so on. So anyway, so now, so okay, let me say this one and so on. So it was a cloud, like I said, of dust rising from the debris of the fallen masonry, and Joshua knew that there's somewhere hidden in that cloud of dust was the arm of the eternal God, whose name was Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord, my banner. Amen? The Lord, Jesus is our banner. His hand was in there, he put on the water and so on. In Hebrews 11:30, which I read before, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So, God had appointed this method of taking down the city of Jericho so the children of Israel would not put their trust in instruments of war but in the power of the living God. Even so, where did the Bible say, David writing about this in Psalm 44, the third verse, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, means the hand of God. You see what I'm talking about? That hand that put out the words, right? But thy right hand, that was what I meant when I said the hands of God put out those words and so on. The cloud of dust. But thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast favor unto them. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me begin to wrap up here. You know, so, this morning, have you ever stood before the Jericho of your life? What does that mean? An obstacle between you and the promise of God. God promised them the land, right? That was Jericho, the very first frontier of the land. Jericho stood between them and so on. Have you ever had something stand between you and the Jericho between you and the promise of God? And you surely, most of the time, when you have a God's promise, that be a Jericho, most of the time, right? Standing between you and that promise of God. See? Almost all the time and so on. Has the impossible ever loomed up before you with its impregnable wall, like Jericho? Have you ever been faced or face to face with difficulties that in the natural order of things were insurmountable? And recent cry, you know, your recent beginning to cry, you might as well just capitulate, meaning just give up, you know? There is no way, sensitive will tell you, no use of fighting against the inevitable. Listening will tell you, never say it cannot be done, amen? Praise the Lord. Speak the word only or you keep quiet. Praise God. Anyway, do not be defeated in your soul by the thing that seems to be. All things are possible to the man that believes. Mark 9:23. That should be our attitude. Believe begets obedience. When you believe, you obey the Lord, right? And obedience builds the road down which faith marches with glorious triumph. When you believe, then you obey the Lord and so on, as you know. As it builds the road for you, you know, for faith to march with glorious triumph. Obedience works, but faith is the inspiration that vitalizes it all, not just your faith. So it is, brother and sister, we all face our Jerichos. Where in the, like Joshua, where in the loneliness of our own souls, we stand in fearful contemplation, you know, gazing at what seems to be the impossible. We can expect the Son of God to appear to us, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll be with him in trouble, he said, I will deliver him. The psalmist said, and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Can I expect it? He expects it. The Bible says so and so, that you know. So anyway, he has promised it, so I'll be with you. Perhaps, as you turn over the pages of his word, In the quiet of your room, maybe they are forced upon your burdened soul a benediction like rain upon a thirsty land. You will get a vision of the captain of the host of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is always for you and never against you. Joshua asked, are you for us or against us? No, I'm for you. See? The Lord Jesus is always for you, never will be against you. When you are hearing something, I'm running against you for the word of God, not the Lord. Never, it's always for you and so on. He is always and eternally working for your good and my good. Praise the Lord. Always. He has promised in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or if you want to know, the end of the age, if you want. You might hear the cadency of his voice vibrate with understanding and yet pulse it with power, saying, let us plan this. That is what you are talking about. That problem, and so on, as you know. Son, daughter, let us plan this thing together. The Lord will tell you in so many words. For you cannot do it. You can't do this thing alone. The Lord will encourage you. So Joshua, you can't do it by yourself. I will do it. You just do the walking. You do the marching. I do the pulling. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many words. So maybe you can't accomplish in I believe he said in John 15:5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at the last phrase. For without me you can do nothing. Just rest in his love, right? So we see Joshua was contemplating, didn't know what to do. All of his story, the Lord appeared right there, and so the same thing is doing for you, and even more for you and me today than indeed and so on. Today, he appeared to Joshua just that time. So today he lives in you, amen? Praise the Lord. Oh my, he lives in you with a better covenant built upon better promises, amen? Praise the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how I say always, I'm talking about you. Always is with you. Whether you see him or not, doesn't make any difference. So anyway, so we see. And so you know that Jericho is there, whatever the problem you are having or you may have in the future. Jericho is there, yes. This Jericho may be a Jericho of sin, or no, this city of unbelief, this city of a seemingly impregnable fortresses, this impediment to your Christian progression could be any problem, an impediment to your Christian progression and your growth in grace. What do you do, brother and sister? Get along with God. See, the man went away from the camp, right? He went alone. Jacob, Genesis 32, I believe it is, facing a crisis of his life. His brother Esau with 400 men of war, coming to, he believed, to take a revenge. What did the man of God do? Crossed the river Jabbok. I was alone. He left his family, divided into two. He let them alone. He got alone with God all night, wrestled with the angel. Who see? The Theophany, the same one. See? Appeared to Jacob, like two of Genesis and so on. He wrestled with a man, was a Theophany, the same personage that appeared to Joshua. He is the same one, the angel of the covenant of the Old Testament. And he wrestled night and so on, you know, and prevailed. Bible says because you have prevailed, you are going to prevail with me and change his name to Israel, the Prince of God, you know. So the same thing, get alone. I don't care what the obstacle is, you know, as well as you know. Get along with God like Joshua did. Get away from the camp and so on. So just by the way. So anyway, so get along with God. Talk it about with the Lord. See? No sooner as the voice of the Savior is speaking to the spiritual here than reason. When you are talking to the Lord in many things and so on, showing you things, reason will come again and laugh and says, isn't it absurd? Isn't it foolish? How can these things be when God speaks to you about many things and like, you know, and so on, like before the Joshua and so on, you know. But you raise the hugo to your lips, your instrument of praise, right? Begin to praise God. And, you know, and the regiments of joy and of peace and of glory start marching across the field of your soul. Turn it to the praise when God has said unto you, to the human, this name may not be this name and so on to man, see? But you know it is word of God. And we have talked so much about his word, how infallible they are and so on. Begin to praise God and begin to rejoice. So you have not won the victory And yet you have. So you haven't seen physically, right? But like Joshua saw that one down already. They were still standing there, but he saw them in the spiritual eye that they were down anyway. You can see the problem solved when you talk it over with the Lord and so on that. And the solitary of your soul and so on that, you know. The problem is not solved. And yet you are shouting. Why? Because you know it will be. That's faith, right? Nugget of faith. The difficulty has not been removed. And yet, you are so happy that you can jump for joy. See? Looking for joy. We are looking for him. We haven't seen him yet. Bible says, him whom you have not seen, yet you know. In the book of Peter, even though you have not seen him, yet believe it. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. You are full of glory, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's faith. Praise the Lord. You know? That's faith right there. So anyway, so the same thing as that, you know. So running off here. So now, faith is the victory, brother and sister. Faith wins the victory all the time. So believe what the scripture says about angels in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, which are the heirs of salvation? How did they come? They come to the person of faith to dispel all the difficulties of doubt, fear, and unbelief. I remember it was spoken of Daniel. There was finding this Daniel, the dissolving of doubt. He was a believing believer, amen. Praise the Lord. Angels were just coming and go. Gabriel will come and so and talk to him and so the harmony and so they will come. And all of this is and so because he has faith. Your faith will attract the angels more and more than ever before. As you close the age, as the age closes, now we're going to be seeing visions of angels, I believe, as in the early church. More ubiquitous than ever before the history of the world. So it is that you and the Lord Jesus plan it together. Cast your care upon him. Cast your body upon his behalf for you. Like Joshua and the captain of the host of the Lord. Truly, the Lord of hosts is with us. Psalm 46:7. What a wonderful psalm. Truly, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing can defeat you. So let me quickly finish up here. You know, your way has become his way now. Your plan has become his plan because you talk it over with the Lord, right? His voice has inspired you to obedience. And you are just as sure the fourth day, the very fourth day that the words are going to fall, right? As you are sure that on the seventh day it will fall. Just comparing with the one of Joshua, right? Of Jericho and some of that, you know. So there is not much difference between the shouts of anticipation before the crumbling and the shout of victory at the end of it all. At the beginning, at the end. You rejoice at the beginning. Once you talk it out with the Lord, you already rejoice whether it is or not. When you now see it, then the same rejoicing and so on. Hebrews 11:1 again says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You walk by the Lord's side. Even though he is invisible, along the way that might be rocky path. And some of that, you know, you are walking with him, he's there with you, by faith you walk. No, the one of these days, what you commit to his hand, he says, I know whom I have believed. And that which I committed to his hand, he will bring it to pass, amen? Amen. Keep on walking the path of faith. He will surely bring it by. Without faith, he will do it and so on that, you know. So now, so before you know it, the difficulty has been removed, overcome. The impediments have been overcome as we walk with the Lord Jesus and talk it over with him. The impediments have been moved out of the way. The natural has bowed before the supernatural in your life. See? Natural to the supernatural, so it bowed. The finite has acknowledged him as the Lord. The walls of your Jericho have fallen as you walk with the Lord and climb with him and so on, crumbled. Not merely because you shouted, not merely because you walk around the wall, so to say, but that the eternal God has something to do with it. In your heart, you knew that the cloud of dust that the eyes of the people will see around you, or could see around you, was only a cloak that was wrapped, like I said before, around the omnipotent hand of the Lord. So, brother and sister, are closing this morning, like Job of old, sat on the front porch of your spiritual possession, so to say. Sit down on the front porch of your spiritual possession, richer than you ever were before in all of your life. And you can say, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Praise the Lord. So it was that the walls of Jericho fell down. And by faith today, the church of the living God, the towering hands, the measureless eyes above us, that room above us here, between us, and the city, which has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God, even the New Jerusalem, Hebrews 11:10. This thing, they will crumble one day, and prove to be no obstacle to us, as the King of Glory, the Lord, Jesus himself, we design for heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ arise for, and we that are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother and sister, it's urgency time. Last scripture here, Revelation 22. He will testify this thing, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just start to our feet and just worship him. Just thank him. The finite impossibility of faith. Not get your faith. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Just worship him in the beauty of holiness this morning. Just thank him. He has made all things possible for you. He has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. The Bible says so. In all things that pertain unto life and to godliness is within your reach. It's within you. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you always. Reach on out. Just by the eyes of faith. Lord, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith and so on. It will always work. You need to walk with him. Talk it over with him. Any problem whatsoever. All things are possible. All me and they are possible to him that believe. What is not possible with man is possible with God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. By faith, Enoch was translated. Lord of God. Before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But we have faith. He has dared to you and me in measure of faith. Help us, Lord, to help that faith to grow and grow exceedingly to the moving of any kind of a mountain. Thou shalt say to this mountain, just have faith, like a grain of mustard seed. Thou shalt say to this mountain and so forth, be removed. Bible says, if you obey you, just say the word of the Lord. It shall not fail. Lord, we thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. Thank you for the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Lord, we plant, we worship and adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you the name of the Lord. Now, let's just share the grace. I believe the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.